This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi, how are you? My name's Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm joined again by Justine Toe. Hi, Justine.
How's it going, Simon?
Yeah, pretty good. It was reported in the Sydney Morning Herald recently that a sociologist from the London School of Economics is encouraging women to use their erotic capital, as she described it, to get ahead in the workplace. Can you tell us more about this, Justine?
Yeah, it's definitely a term that needs some elaborating, doesn't it? Catherine Hakim's Honey Money, which is a book that she's written, suggests that women should use their feminine wiles to get the edge over men in the workplace. Now, what she means by this is a combination of beauty, sex appeal, self-presentation skills, and social skills. So at the very best, I think what Hakim is arguing is that charm and social graces can help you get ahead at work, which is probably true. At the same time, at the worst, this idea seems to assume that men are these sex-mad creatures and that women can easily manipulate them because of this as well.
I can't imagine how anyone could think that. But more seriously, it doesn't present a very high view of men, does it? Or women, for that matter. It presumes that women's abilities at work can't be properly recognised. I think that's one of the key disturbing elements of this, unless they're presented in this appealing package.
Yeah, and I think what we see going on here is that it's an example of post-feminism, which is a larger trend that is at work in our culture. Post-feminism has this emphasis on individual empowerment, on personal choice, on this idea of girl power, and also a celebration of the body. So erotic capital is a post-feminist idea because it involves women realising their inherent power, i.e. their sexy body, their charming ways, and using it to their advantage. But critics of post-feminism and critics of erotic capital as well would argue that, you know, while it's presented as a new and empowering thing to do, it's actually the old sexism in disguise. Arielle Levy, in her book on raunch culture written a few years ago, she says, why is this the new feminism and not what it looks like, the old objectification?
Can you tell us more about this sense of objectification as it applies to this subject?
Sure. Well, to objectify something is basically to dehumanise it. In the case of women, to reduce a woman to a sexual object. Now, despite kind of the movements that feminism has made, it seems that we've ended up with post-feminism, where now women are doing this to themselves. So they're presenting themselves as a sexual object, and we're actually calling it empowerment. And this sums up post-feminism. So Arielle Levy, we can see her point, I think, that post-feminism may celebrate the body, but in that celebration, it's actually objectifying it all over again.
Right, so the idea is that women have power and aren't fundamentally being taken advantage of here because they're choosing to present themselves in this way. You want to challenge that idea?
Oh, yeah, I think it's completely toxic and it's meaningless because it might be women's intention to present themselves as active, as sexually liberated, as empowered, but it's doubtful that this is how the message is received. I mean, like, if a guy's seeing a girl, he's not going to, and she looks really hot or whatever, he's not going to stand there and say, oh, how empowered is she, right? It's just a stupid statement. And what's worse is that women are now freely choosing this for themselves. It's a product of their free choice.
It's interesting because of what is at stake here, because all these sorts of questions around sex and sexuality from a Christian perspective can't be removed from our spirit, our soul, that there's something deeply significant going on in these interactions and relationships. And sometimes we can't help but thinking that our culture's kind of removed that and sees this only as physical, where we want to say, I would want to say, there's more going on here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that what we need to do then to fix this, really, is to accept and say, well, okay, if choice is the issue here, if women are freely choosing one option for themselves, then why can't they freely choose another option? And in this, I was really interested to come across the work of Clive Hamilton. I mean, he's talking about a slightly different matter entirely, but he's arguing that teenage sex was once a sign of rebellion, but this is no longer the case because our culture is so pervasively sexualized. He says that actually, given that our culture is so sexualized, withholding the body instead of flaunting it is actually the new transgression. It's actually more countercultural to do that. He says very provocatively, good is now the new bad.
Right, so it's more rebellious to resist the culture of hypersexualization.
That's right, and not kind of play off your erotic capital.
Absolutely. So we live in a culture that, at least in some quarters, is encouraging women to equate their worth with their bodies, but To refuse this is probably the most, according to you, Justine, the most empowering thing a woman can do.
I think so.
Thanks, Justine.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.